will slip into recession this year.
I guess they think the government has failed them.
Politically mature, we will always be misled, led astray, or deceived, or maneuvered into supporting someone politically who doesn't have the good of our community at heart.
1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hoped that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual.
And good morning, CKLN listeners. It is the 27th day of January 2011. You are listening to CKLN Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Special tax, a special thanks to Ms. Natasha Von Castle, the Queen of Soul, Canada's music queen, and an all-around lovely and beatific presence. If you notice out there, for you folks here who live in Toronto, and perhaps even across Canada, since she is Canada's music queen, if you notice, it was really cold when she wasn't here. But now that she's back and she's spinning sweet, sweet soul for you, y'all can get your soul crack fixed and you can get high, you can get lifted, and you can enjoy the world better thanks to the power of music. And here on CKLN's Rude Awakening on Mondays and Thursdays, it's your host BK, a.k.a. VJ. Reach me at blackkrishna@gmail.com or vj.sarma@gmail.com, or you can call me or text me at 647-855-4744, or you can call us here on air at 416-595-1655, or you can check out my website at whatyouwantabelievein.com. On Mondays and Thursdays, I do try and talk about the New World Order, the system that we're in, which is basically an extension of the British Empire, based on central banksters, international banksters, printing fiat money from nothing, loaning that money to governments, then those governments circulating it into their economies, and putting those countries further and further into debt. And these banksters only did this because they wanted to come back and collect these countries piecemeal by saying, you guys are so heavily in debt, you gotta do something about your debt, you gotta pay off your debt, you got in debt. And let me tell you something, our parents in this country, when they signed us up for a birth certificate, unknowingly and unwittingly signed us and our kids and our grandkids up to a lifetime of debt servitude. Because how's America going to pay back $14 trillion in debt when all their manufacturers moved to China? How's Canada going to do the same when we're probably going to pay back half a trillion dollars worth of debt? $500 billion, supposedly. And one of the ways we can do that is with our Bank of Canada. Our Bank of Canada is owned by the people. It's a publicly owned central bank here. They do print money and they can make loans to governments at the federal, provincial, or municipal level, which are basically interest-free or at very, very low interest to help infrastructure projects, as was done until the 1960s when Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau started borrowing more and more heavily from international banksters, because unfortunately that's who he worked for. And that's the problem with a lot of our heroes. So many of our heroes that we're given in the mainstream media, in fact, are only given to us by our mainstream media because they work for the New World Order group of central banking families and their assorted minions with their think tanks like the Council on Foreign Relations in New York, Canadian Council for Chief Executives here in Canada, and of course the Royal Institute for International Affairs, or Chatham House in London, where a lot of this is based out of. And so I'd like to break down something really, really important when it comes to the heroes that we're given by the mass media. Obama had his State of the Union speech recently. I caught just the last part of it. But again, it's like watching a movie. He's basically saying the same thing he did a couple of years ago, and we're supposed to get into it. And in our world of electronic hallucinations, as former New York Times reporter Chris Hedges calls it, we want to get into whatever fantasies we're sold. We want to get into video games, we want to get into movies, we want to get into fashion, we want to get into taking pictures of ourselves on Facebook where the lighting's good and the angles are good and we somehow come out better looking than we normally are. And so I'd like to let Alex Jones break down Obama's State of the Union, and then Mike Evans, Fox News reporter, break down a bit about what he knows about the missing Obama birth certificate. Was he born in America? Was he born in Kenya? We hear what they have to say.
To describe it as propaganda, it would be a disservice. It's worse than propaganda. It was mind control. It was re-education. It was brainwashing. It was a complete fraud. Everything he said was an abominable lie, a fraud, a groupthink twisting. And the biggest issue here, and I'm going to go through a lot of these points, but I tried to write notes on it, and I'm not going to go over all five pages of them. But the biggest issue was they told members of Congress to sit together. Well, we need separation of powers. We need people to fight within the Democratic and Republican parties against these illegal wars and the Patriot Act and the banking occupation and looting that's going on. We don't need to, quote, fix America to have everybody agree and to cut back the rhetoric. But see, this shows the Republicans and Democrats are circling the wagons against the people and against the Tea Party. 2 years ago, they were somewhat successful in the media running this mass hoax that only Democrats were being heckled at town hall events or meet and greet events. I remember in 2008 and early 2009, Rick Perry would be booed off the stage back when he was pushing Gardasil and NAFTA highways and New World Order stuff. Senator Cornyn would be booed off the stage everywhere he went here in Texas. I saw videos on YouTube and other sites, just Republicans, Democrats, they had an 11% approval rating in Congress, both parties. People were after Democrats, Republicans. But the media spun it as if it was a right-wing revolt, were able to brand it as you only go and protest if you're a conservative against a liberal. And then they made it left-right and divided the people against each other, where Democrats say, well, I better defend the government's agenda because I don't want to be with those Republicans. Then they branded it as racist. Oh, you don't want government-run health care? Oh, you don't want open borders? Oh, you don't want gun control? You're a racist. So they really tried to divide people along race, along class, along social class warfare. Now, the Republicans and Democrats, we've seen all these Republican leaders say, yes, we've got to tone down the rhetoric. And the big lie, and he brought up the Arizona shooting at the beginning of his speech, in fact, we can play that later, he said, you know, it's great to have Republicans and Democrats. It's great to have debate. It's great to have arguments. But then you got the Arizona shooting. And that has showed us to come together and to stop all this fighting. So the big lie there is, if you don't like what the government's doing, and we are the people, we are the government, if we try to change it and put it back on a constitutional course, we're causing shootings.
This next item, no show business, but I have a personal interest, so I thought I'd share it with you. Former U.S. Congressman from Hawaii, Neil Abercrombie, has been a friend of mine for decades. In fact, when I first met Neil, he was driving a cab in Honolulu. Well, Neil and I spent a lot of time together in Washington, D.C. during Obama's inauguration. Neil told me then that he was going to run for governor of Hawaii. It had enough of being a U.S. congressman. He also told me that his stories, and he told me many times after Barack became famous, that when he was in college, going to the University of Hawaii, he was a friend of Barack Obama's dad. And he remembers Barack Obama as a little kid. He used to call him Barry. In fact, I did a TV interview with Abercrombie at C-SPAN the day after the inauguration, and we had to stop twice because he referred to the president as Barry, which he, after he did, he said, I can't do that. I got to call him the Mr. President. Well, Neil promised me that when he became governor, he was going to cut through all the red tape. He was going to get Obama's birth certificate once and for all and end the stupid controversy that he was not born in the United States. Yesterday, talking to Neil's office, Neil says that he searched everywhere using his power as governor at the Kapi'olani Women's and Children's Hospital and Queens Hospital, the only places kids were born in Hawaii back when Barack was born. There is no Barack Obama birth certificate in Hawaii.
Really?
Absolutely no proof at all that he was born in Hawaii.
Wow.
Now, he went out. He loves Obama. I mean, he purposely did this to get rid of that question. Now, got some egg in the face. I mean, now he admits publicly that there is no birth certificate.
Well, and Mike, the addendum to that is there's this story of there was a birth announcement, but it's been explained his grandparents could have called the newspaper and said, hey, he's, you know, our grandchild was born, and he didn't have to be born in Hawaii for that. So it's raising the issue again.
Absolutely.
After it seemed to be put to bed.
And I asked him, I go, well, when do you remember Barack? When your first memory? And he goes, I remember him playing like in a T-ball league. And I go, like, well, how old? He was like 5 or 6, something like that. I go, what about before that? He goes, I don't really remember him much before that, which I find is very odd.
Really?
Anyway.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
According to our federal law, and I don't know if it's constitutional law, but I assume it would be, why is he allowed to be the president of the United States then if he can't prove he's a U.S. citizen?
Well, that's born here. The big question.
I don't know. That's weird.
And now Abercrombie is the first to say that he, although he is a Abercrombie as a Obama lover.
Right.
He's concerned that this is going to be an issue during the election, re-election.
So it has taken off as a big story again, huh?
Yes.
Well, and what's interesting about it is this guy attacked people who questioned that he was born in Hawaii just a few weeks ago.
Neil did.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, Neil and I are buddies, and during this whole inauguration, when I was in Washington for those 10 days, spent a lot of time with Neil, and anytime anybody come up and bring this up, you're right, Neil was almost militant about it. I remember him as a kid. He was from Hawaii, born and raised in Hawaii. So, needless to say, this, I think he was probably shocked more than anybody with the whole thing.
I mean, don't you have to produce papers that say, in fact, you were born in the United States?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
You'd have to.
Well, there's been a certificate of live birth, but that's being questioned, too, because you don't have it. It's not the official birth certificate.
There has to be one at the hospital signed by the doctor verifying birth and a birth, but there isn't that. It's like a baptism papers. They don't. It's not worth the papers written on, really.
Well, Mike, how hard would it be to go back and find out what doctors were on then?
You know, well, apparently he can't find any of that.
But this government has failed us. The government itself has failed us. And the white liberals who have been posing as our friends have failed us. And once we see that all these other sources to which we turn have failed, we stop turning to them and turn to ourselves. We need a self-help program, a do-it-yourself philosophy, a do-it-right-now philosophy, it's already too late philosophy. This is what you and I need to get with. And the only way we're going to solve our problem is with a self-help program. Before we can get a self-help program started, we have to have a self-help philosophy. This is part of what's wrong with you. You do too much singing. Today it's time to stop singing and start swinging.
And we're back, folks. And I do agree with Mr. X that we have been failed by many of the traditional people that we go to and groups that we go to as part of the process of trying to affect political change. And that is, of course, because many of them are controlled, carefully controlled, to lead us along the same path. As Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com says, the leaders of many of these groups know what the larger agenda is. And so they may argue with their counterpoint on the left or right, but they won't argue with the premise of the system. And that's essentially how a lot of politics works as well, where, you know, you'll see people in the House of Commons here in Canada, or you'll see people in the House of Congress in the United States, and they will, you know, disagree with each other and even dislike each other. But as Mike Rupert, also another author, noted author, former LAPD detective, said, they're like the mafia, you know, at a craps game. And he says they might shoot each other under the table once in a while, but nobody wants to upset the whole craps game they're all making money off of. Because as long as they convince us that the political wrestling match is real, then they can all profit off it. And they can all say they're doing the best they can. It's just the system. And with respect to the New World Order and the economy, I'm just clicking to a Google News search here of economy. Economy on the move, says the Port Authority from the CBC 13 hours ago. David Cree, CEO of the Windsor Port Authority, says significant increase in cargo shipments handled by the port in 2010 is a sign the economy is taking a stronger position. The Small Business News Report, Fed touts strong position of Canadian economy. Canada's Jim Flaherty, Minister of Finance's economy, his government's top priority. Corporate tax cuts, do you think they'll help improve the economy? From CBC. How Rio Plus 20 could help, quote, green the global economy. Davos Forum to focus on Russian economy. Uncertainty may kill the economy. From the Vancouver Sun. And this is the most interesting one I found from this little statement here. Because what they're basically doing with respect to the economy is fundamentally, they are telling us if it goes down, it's our fault for not believing in it. Like it's served us well so far. Like it's been a fair and just system. And the opportunities sold, you know, by governments and by politicians in the highfalutin speeches is something that we can really see most people manifest on a regular basis. Yeah, right, sure. So here at the Vancouver Sun, are we ready to stop bellowing about sales tax and start thinking about it? By Don K.O., Vancouver Sun. With Gordon What's-His-Name all but out of the headlines and premier's chair, with the sky still hanging up in the air for 6 months after the HST kicked in, and with Bill Vanderzaun's perpetual smile finally fading from our TV screens, I wonder if BC is ready to stop bellowing about sales tax and start thinking about it. I hope so, because some thinking needs to be done. It'll be no surprise to regular readers to learn that I think we should keep the HST. And that's right, you're going to get people selling us the idea that more taxes is a good way to generate revenue, when in fact it decreases spending, and that's really, really dangerous. And so what is the bigger plan? What is the bigger agenda for all of this? Well, the plan is to crash our economy. They popped the tech bubble. They popped the real estate bubble. Hell, they're even going to try and pop the happiness bubble with all this lovey-dovey, keep it happy, keep it positive, think positive stuff. You know, they're going to smash all that. And you saw a sample of that with the Obama campaign, where people who were extremely politically active and extremely passionate about political change were, you know, kind of turned off and negated at the end of what happened with the Obama campaign. So on that, I'm going to take you to a clip of Naomi Klein talking about the neoliberal project, just so we get an idea of what's happened elsewhere.
About the transitions that communist countries have made to so-called free market ideology. And looking at the way they were covered in the Western press at the time versus the stories that are now, the narratives that are now emerging in these countries. Now, the Tiananmen Square massacre... was reported in the Western press as exclusively students who wanted democracy up against a communist regime that wanted to protect its own power and was willing to use enormous force. Another narrative is emerging from China's new left, self-described new left, which is that, in fact, it was not only students. That these were protests against, lo and behold, Milton Friedman prescribed shock therapy program. That it was overwhelmingly workers who were opposed to the deregulation of their wages, the lifting of price controls, and the widening disparity. People wanted democracy, but they wanted democracy for a reason. They wanted democracy to oversee the economic transformation so that it could be widely shared and not simply be a transfer of wealth from the party elite to a new corporate oligarchy. When those protests threatened that economic project, then the tanks came in. Then the tanks rolled. And it was the shock of Tiananmen that created the workforce in China that has been so profitable to so many corporations, the raw terror of a state that is willing to go to such lengths to roll over their students, their workers, that was a message. And it was the same message that workers got in Latin America with their shocks. That's how neoliberalism came to China. Now, in Russia, which was the next great success story for the movement, Gorbachev brought democracy in before he brought in the free market reforms. He didn't want neoliberalism. He wanted what he described as a new kind of socialism, a socialist beacon to the world. He wanted something on the model of Scandinavian social democracy. Well, he was shut down by the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and rapidly ousted by Yeltsin. He had a team of economists who called themselves the Chicago Boys because they had learned everything they knew by reading pirated copies of Capitalism and Freedom and Free to Choose, during the communist years. They weren't actually Chicago boys. They were sort of knockoff Chicago boys. But that's fitting for Russia because it has a very big black market. So, what happened in Russia was the same thing that happened in China, which is that the democratic reforms came into head-on collision with the economic reform.
The man is becoming richer and richer, and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing in a run-down community. Why, you run it down yourself when you take your dollar out. And you and I are in a double trap, because not only do we lose by taking our money someplace else and spending it, when we try and spend it in our own community, we're trapped because we haven't had sense enough to set up stores and control the businesses of our community. The man who's controlling the stores in our community is a man who doesn't look like we do. He's a man who doesn't even live in the community. So you and I, even when we try and spend our money in the block where we live or the area where we live, we're spending it with a man who, when the sun goes down, takes that basket full of money in another part of the town. So we're trapped, double trapped, triple trapped. Anywhere we go, we find that we're trapped. And every kind of solution that someone comes up with is just another trap.
And that's right, folks. We are back. That was Naomi Klein talking about what the Western powers, the Anglo-American establishment, did to post-communist Russia and China. And essentially, the New World Order's plan is to create a third system. Even Karl Marx said, Karl Marx, the writer of the Communist Manifesto, at the behest of British bankers, I'd add. But even he said communism was only supposed to last about 70 years before it was to fall and a third way would emerge, because capitalism would get so corrupt from all the consolidation that, that there would be a proletarian revolution. And that is being fomented right now in the simplest, in the absolute simplest terms. And yet, if you look at the people behind the economic crisis, what you'll notice is that the bankers were given trillions of dollars in bailouts. The last numbers we got, the last numbers I've seen, were $23.7 trillion from Bloomberg News, and they can use fractional reserve banking to lend out 10 to 100 to even 1,000 times that much if they really want to, when they combine it with their derivative Ponzi scheme. So what exactly is going on here? While we're all being told, you know, think positive, think good thoughts about the economy, it's kind of like, you know, like lay down, GI, lay down. We are not attacking you. You ever seen that movie Mars Attacks? Alex Jones has referenced this. I find it hilarious. But in Mars Attacks, the movie, a bunch of aliens come here and they say, "We are your friends. We are not attacking you," all while they're shooting them. And so while prices are going up everywhere, prices are going up at the grocery store, gas prices are going up, heating prices are going up, taxes are going up, we're being told that we're in a recovery. This is a classic psychological operation. And so here on Rude Awakenings on Mondays and Thursdays, I do like to make the point that we have to beat the mind control out there. We're not just up against different opinions here. We are up against mind control. And yet, once people can see how obvious all this crap is, perhaps they can get around it. Because we've seen people go from "I don't believe you" to "I don't care" to "I don't want to talk about it" to "I'm afraid to talk about it." And that's where it's going here as I rant and rave deep behind enemy lines in communist Canada. Crown land owned by the Queen. And even the Queen, the whole royal family's coming back in style. You see the King's Speech being up for the Oscars. You see the William and Kate wedding being promoted. And the idea, the British Empire is reasserting themselves. Even with Lady Gaga, even with pop culture, you can see this sort of thing happening as they try and reassert dominance over the world. Essentially, the New World Order used the U.S. as their primary muscle in the past, and now they're switching their horses to China. But who are these people? What drives these people? Well, from what we know, They want to dehumanize us to make us easier to control, and so they dehumanize their minions inside the system to make them easier to control. And they do that as a form of mind control, and they inflict forms of mind control on people, especially children. So to demonstrate that, I want to play a couple of clips here. The first one is an ABC Oakland news story about second graders having oral sex in class while the teacher was there. This happened just a couple of days ago. And then I'm going to switch over to Ms. Kathy O'Brien, a former victim of mind control. Her website is trans-formationofamerica at transformation.com. And she's going to explain a bit about what her experiences were as a presidential mind control sex slave. But first, from ABC Oakland News, the story of the latest on second graders and their hypersexualization.
And the words the school district are using to describe the sex acts they say occurred at second grade students here are shocking, unbelievable, and alarming. Now, they still don't know exactly when last week these events occurred, because the principal only learned about them yesterday.
We are trying to get to the bottom of it and determine how something so heinous could have occurred.
Oakland School District spokesperson Troy Flint was running out of words to describe the shocking sexual incidents that a student said took place in a second grade classroom here at Markham Elementary School sometime last week.
On one occasion, two students were engaged in sexually explicit acts. In a separate incident, students were disrobing in the class and were in various states of undress.
When the principal learned of the incident, she began an investigation and sent out this letter to all the other parents describing what happened and adding that the teacher in the classroom where the acts allegedly occurred will not be reporting to the site pending the outcome of the investigation.
There was an adult present at the time, so obviously there was an egregious lapse of supervision. It's not clear how this could have happened. It's totally unacceptable.
Dwight Munson has a niece who attends Markham.
It's unheard of. I mean, this would have never happened during the time when I went to school or the time when my children went to school.
The story that you tell is that from the time you were 5 years old on, you were basically sold to the CIA for mind experimentation by your own father for his own reasons, and then you've had a life of a lot of heartbreak in your life.
I have. I've been exposed to a lot in the course of my MK Ultra mind control existence on a White House Pentagon level, and I'm very fortunate to have survived it, healed, and to be able to bring this information to light. It's necessary that people understand what mind control is, because knowledge is our only defense against it.
You know, you go into, in your book, Transformation, and the other book, Access Denied, you go into some of your family background and the things that happened, the things that were inflicted on you by your father from a very early age. And I don't want to dwell on them too much unless you want to, but it becomes relevant to the larger story, doesn't it? The things that happened to you as a child.
Absolutely it does. And it's pertinent so that people have an understanding of what mind control is, and also it gives a lot of information into what we're seeing in government, particularly through these past administrations, and what has brought us to the point that our country's in right now. So it is pertinent to us all. And,
so tell me about your experiences growing up, your father.
Well, like so many other people, I was sexually abused as a child. And I was born into a multi-generational incest-based family. And that means that my father was sexually abused and my mother was sexually abused, and therefore they were sexually abusing me. Oftentimes when children are sexually abused, it becomes their way of life and it's passed on through generations. This was found in the Hitler-Himmler research back in Nazi Germany that multi-generational incest went on like that. And when it does, it creates a mind brain disorder called dissociative identity disorder. And this was what Himmler and Hitler were very interested in studying and targeting for mind control. Because when a person's dissociative, it's as though the conscious mind takes flight, leaving the subconscious mind wide open to being easily manipulated and easily led. the subconscious mind doesn't have any ability to reason, to question, and will follow orders. And therefore, that was part of their studies. At the time I was growing up in Muskegon, Michigan, back in the early 60s, I was born in 1957, the U.S. government was, a criminal faction of the U.S. government was actively involved in mind control research. At that time, the Nazi and fascist scientists involved in mind control in Germany had been brought over to the United States through Project Paperclip. And so this a criminal faction of our government was actively targeting children like myself who were in these multi-generational families of incest and abuse and for their MK Ultra mind control project. The way that I was found in was that my father had expanded his sexual abuse of me into into child pornography. And back in the early 60s, child pornography was being, we didn't have the internet or anything like that. So it was being sent through the U.S. mails. And this faction of the government was watching to see who was involved in this in order to find children like myself. And they found the pornography, and that's what ultimately thrust me into the project.
So it's the kind of thing where they come to your dad and say, hey, we know you're producing child pornography. You can go to prison or you can cooperate with us by basically giving us your daughter?
Exactly what happened. And my father thought it was, you know, a great idea and felt like the government condoned child abuse and actually went on to have more children to raise in the project. So there were seven of us in all. But I was the one that eventually went on to be used on a White House Pentagon level. And the way that that happened was that at the time, the local politician...
All right, you're a young girl. You're 5 years old. How is it that you know that your father cut this deal with the CIA?
I had a photographic memory. When a person is subjected to extreme trauma, the brain automatically... photographically records events surrounding that trauma. And that is another thing that had made me a prime candidate or a chosen one for MKUltra. So even though I didn't have a conscious understanding of what was happening at the time, I certainly remember it in photographic detail now. It's like I didn't have any way of being able to morally judge what my father was doing was wrong. So even at that, I wouldn't have thought to dissociate. It's something that automatically happens in the brain. So at that young of age, prior to age five, the brain is still forming, and that is when these other mechanisms are automatically come into place, and one of them is a photographic memory.
Yeah, but what is it that you remember? Do you remember guys coming in and flashing CIA badges and your dad saying, there she is, boys, take her? What is it that you remember?
No. At that, this criminal faction of the government that I was referring to is also referred to as the shadow government, and our local politician in Muskegon, Michigan at that time was Gerald Ford. And this is the same Gerald Ford that went on to become the unelected president of the United States. But at that time, he was just a local politician who was sanctioning the local Michigan Mafia child pornography ring in order to target children like myself for MKUltra mind control. And I remember him coming to the house and having the little video under his arm and waiting to talk with my father. And at that time is when he had told him that he could have immunity from prosecution if he sold me in the project. My father was very thrilled with that idea, and as soon as he agreed to it, he was flown to Boston, Massachusetts for a two-week course in how to raise me in the project. And in that course, it was a matter of how to deal with the literal mind, dealing with the subconscious mind.
So,
anytime you have to rely upon your enemy for a job, you're in bad shape. Once you change your philosophy, you change your thought pattern, Once you change your thought pattern, you change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. And then you go on into some action. As long as you got a sit-down philosophy, you'll have a sit-down thought pattern. And as long as you think that old sit-down thought, you'll be in some kind of sit-down action. They'll have you sitting in everywhere. It's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. That right there castrates you. Right there it brings you down. What goes with it? What think of the image of someone sitting? An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting to back that up.
And we're back, folks. That's right. They're trying to drive us crazy with mind control. We're doing a lot of sitting around. And there's evidence of this. For example, there's an article at henrymakow.com, Dr. Henry Mackow's website, Mackow's website, excuse me, where it says, due to the incredible amount of porn in Japan, one-third of young Japanese males have absolutely no interest in sex. And it's true. It's the article. It used to be 17.5% of that late high school demographic, the early university demographic. Now it is a third, 33%, because porn and sexuality is prevalent even in children's stories, even in children's TV shows, and they are using that to help brainwash us. So do keep an eye out for that out there. We are a hypersexualized culture. We are trained to be vain. We are trained to be exceptionally vain and exceptionally self-absorbed and self-conscious, and that ultimately makes us insecure. Because if we're that concerned about it, then that means we have a problem with it. And that's what they're trying to do here in Canada and around the world, because there is a satanic pedophile cult running the world. That's essentially what the central bankers did. That is what the higher levels of Freemasonry supposedly teach, and some of their initiations and rituals. At the cremation of CARE at Bohemian Grove in California, filmmaker and radio host Alex Jones filmed their rituals. It's in a movie called Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove. And in the cremation of CARE, they actually burn an effigy of a small child, and they stand around in robes and worship a giant owl named Moloch, or a bull, for that matter. It's a different symbolic representation of Satan, a.k.a. Beelzebub. So you have a bunch of satanic pedophiles telling a bunch of people to think positive while they're trashing the economy, lowering our living standards, and trying to drive us all crazy and divide and conquer us and sell us false hope and change. I'm looking at the cover of the Metro right now. It says car versus bike, now bike versus human. Council aims to crack down on cyclists using city sidewalks. Councillor Mike Layton blames it on vehicles parked in dedicated bicycle lanes. Most agree that congested sidewalks endanger pedestrians. It says here, quote, I would think that pedestrians, in terms of hierarchy, have the number one priority because they have the least protection. They are the most unprotected. We do have to protect pedestrians. So this is what our government works on. These are the things they make a huge deal out of. And these stories are insane, and they're meant to drive us insane. And then of course you've got the green movement, the green economy. You know, there's a watermelon green movement out there. It's green on the outside and red on the inside. It's about redistribution of wealth. It's about lowering our living standards. And that is all tied in with this. You see the potpourri that we are up against, and that's why we have to get active in the information war. Before we do that, though, I definitely want to take this clip from Alan Watt at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, proud Canadian radio host himself, and he says here that there's articles coming out talking about how Genghis Khan was a killer greenie. The crazy dictator Genghis Khan, who allegedly did some good things, supposedly did some bad, but this article here is celebrating the fact that he killed hundreds of thousands of people because lowered the carbon footprint at the time. And that was a good thing. It's completely insane.
But then again, there are fanatics out there, as I say, lots of fanatics. And I've read all the articles, even from the main sites themselves, the foundations, the NGOs, all into this stuff. and they've been quite blatant about the fact that they terrified the public and lied to them and so on to get what they want. And what they want really is really a vastly reduced population, etc. And as I say, they've made, I think, Genghis Khan their patron saint. Anyway, it says here, Genghis Khan leader, he killed so many people that carbon levels plummeted. Well, the levels plummeted, no kidding you. They just know this because they've got a time machine. Anyway, it says Genghis Khan's bloody conquest scrubbed 700 million tons of carbon. The exact figure, right? From the atmosphere as depopulated land returned to forest. He's been branded the greenest invader in history. He's the greenest invader in history. After his murderous conquest killed so many people, the huge swaths of cultivated land returned, as I say, to the forest. The Mongol leader, who established a vast empire between the 13th and 14th centuries, helped remove nearly 700 million tons of the carbon, claims a new study. The deaths of 40 million people meant that large areas of cultivated land grew thick once again with trees which absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, except for Canadian trees, I'll add to that, because the UN said that Canada's got bad trees. We thought we'd get one of these discounts of the carbon sinks and all that, but no, we've got bad trees now. When they want cash, it's suddenly it's bad trees. And although his methods may be difficult for environmentalists to accept, I don't think so. Ecologists believe it may be the first ever cause of or case of successful man-made global cooling. So there you go. Genghis Khan was a greenie. I understood too. We got his slaves to build, you know, the little huts and that, and the mud wattle stuff for the peasants, and covered it with moss and green stuff like that. Well, he of course had big castles and palaces, because you see, when you live at that level and you're dealing with important people, you've got to have big places to entertain them. And of course, these greenies all don't see themselves as the ordinary people who are going to get slaughtered. They always see themselves somehow as the managerial class, and they never quite gets to their brain somehow that if there's no people around anymore down below them, well, who are they managing, and who would need them as a managerial class? Yeah, they don't think too far.
We have to defend ourselves. We intend to defend ourselves. We did so in the past, and we're going to do it today, and the day after that, and the day after that. Because only through this proper example of the self-defense and the proper example of retaliation, and by letting these people know that we move from some basic laws, that anything that goes down on oppressed people, on the part of the oppressor, it should be reciprocal. And in plain proletarian workers' language, it takes two to tango. As soon as these motherfuckers go, we go.
That's right, folks. We got to defend ourselves against this and defend our standards of living, because we are descending into a giant police state control grid, really a corporate banker state enforced by the police, who are getting whacked by the same chemicals as everybody else, and the same cancer rates. And you'll see a hell of a lot more of that as it's on the rise. And yet, it's all part of a plan. It's a scientific dictatorship. This is a gamble by the New World Order to give us a lot of knowledge and a lot of power so we can build them a lot of things, and yet keep us perpetually confused in a perpetual state of infantilism. You can see adults out there being turned into children with a love of video games. Everyone's talking about how cool the iPhone is. There's CanadaForever21.com at the Eaton Center, a giant new store opening up. And you can go to their website. It says Forever 21. That's the name of the clothing brand. And that's what we're supposed to aim for. The youth culture is taking precedence. And so adults can either decide to fight back against the New World Order, or they can decide to lose at trying to play in youth culture. And that's something that that we have to decide. Back to the surveillance grid for a second here. Article from Delish.com, craft kiosks scan your face to offer personalized supermarket suggestions. So they're actually trying to read your face and make it seem like it's for your benefit if they do that. Also from the Toronto Star here, blood donor agency wants lifetime ban lifted for gay men. And you see this, you see the gays in the military, you see the blood donor ban lifted, you see a ton of activism on their behalf. And that's not to take anything away from them and them getting what they want and what they deserve and better lifestyle and better lives and better opportunities. But the more important thing is to understand that this is an attack on straight people, on straight guys who can fight back. Because they know if men don't fight back, then It's very unlikely any other group of people will in any culture around the world, and so they are trying to emasculate us. You can see Ewan McGregor in Jim Carrey's new movie. They play a couple of gay guys. They engage in a passionate kiss. The media makes a big deal out of that. Brokeback Mountain, and so on and so forth. And they don't treat gay people well in this. Just like the British Empire, when they ran the entire world, didn't treat the British people well. Just because you're being used to promote certain agendas doesn't mean you're being treated well. The illegal immigrants in America aren't being treated well just because they're being used to push the agenda and to drive down wages in the U.S. and, frankly, in Canada. Muslims aren't being treated well either. You can see here at theglobemail.com, for Muslims, growing numbers and growing fears. And the article starts from Siri Agrell. The Muslim population of Canada will nearly triple over the next 20 years, according to the new study, Global Demographic Trends, focusing on the faith. The number of Canadians who identify themselves as Muslim will reach 2.7 million by 2030, up from approximately 940,000 today, will make up 6.6% of the total population. And again, all these long-term estimates, in 20 years we'll all be underwater because of global warming. In 20 years, this is what the population will be. In 20 years, we'll be overpopulated. The entire population of the world can live in Australia with 12,000 square feet per person to live on. Now, with technology and so on, we can do a hell of a lot more terraforming of the earth itself. Keep in mind, people built this country 200 years ago with shovels and picks. Look at what we have today. So the idea that there are places that we can't live is ridiculous, especially when we see where we live right now and what used to be here. So don't let them sell you that either. Back to SaveTheMails.com here quickly. Up in the air, another Hollywood mind F. This is an article from Barbara Kay in the National Post, who also had an excellent article on a gun owner who fired to scare off some people throwing Molotov cocktails at his property, and was in fact arrested for unlawful use of a firearm and had his gun collection confiscated, as they are coming for our guns. A disarmed population is much easier to enslave, so there are global plans courtesy of the UN for that. But also here in this article here, the movie Up in the Air with George Clooney ends with the guy holding and seizing a false moral high ground, and the guy accepting her judgment. She basically could cheat on her family, and when he tried to interrupt that was wrong. But her cheating on her family was right. He showed up trying to profess his love, the George Clooney character, and that was wrong. But her cheating on her family was right, insidiously corrupting our values as they try to do. But enough of me, folks. Hopefully you've enjoyed this Thursday, the 27th of January's Rude Awakening. Have yourself a fantastic day. Monsignor William Watsoni, a.k.a. the great Bill Watson, is up next. Before I leave you, though, I would like to share out a couple of websites where you can go to learn more and to take action, including Infowars.com with more on the Obama birth certificate flat and a V for Victory poster campaign that I strongly encourage everyone to get involved in, to support that effort and to support parallel efforts and to get your own voice out there as part of the Infowar. Talk to people, share DVDs, start organizing communities so that we can petition our politicians for better policy and they let the dollar circulate. Infowars.com, a good place to get some tips on how to do that. Naturalnews.com for amazing health information. Mercola.com, amazing health information. They both beat Dr. Oz, by the way. You can go to VigilantCitizen.com for amazing articles on our culture and culture creation industry. HenryMAKOW.com for that as well. You can go to VRAN.org for legal Canadian vaccine exemption forms. Get them notarized here in Ontario, and then keep your kids from getting shot. We can kill the vaccine hoax. See the work of Dr. Andrew Wakefield, currently being re-demonized every year in the media, for more conclusive proof on the dangers and risks of vaccines, among many, many other good whistleblowing doctors we should listen to encourage more. You can go to fluoridealert.org for more information on fluoride. Go to my website, whatyouwantabelievein.com, for the March in Ottawa campaign. Saw a 2012 project coming up soon and more. And to contact me with any questions, anything you'd like to discuss here on the show. You can also, locally here, you can go to press4truth.ca in Toronto, Canada. Excellent journalism company. TorontoG20Exposed.com. See a movie on the recent G20 martial law scandal. Something that we should never forget here in this city and here in this country. And something that should inspire us to get active. You go to ConspiracyCulture.com, book and DVD store, including Ron Sales and ConspiracyCulture.com, to get some information on this and get some gear and show you know and represent for freedom before tyranny descends completely. You can also go to the Toronto Street News on the streets of Toronto, Flip Matui, get yourself a paper. You can go to NAUResistance.org for news on the North American Union. That's right, folks. There is a global scientific dictatorship being created, and they are not letting the dollar circulate very easily. Nothing pisses us off more than messing with our money. Now they've started messing with our money, Canadians are mad. There's polls showing 60-70% don't like Stephen Harper, think he's not worth the office. Well, that's good. Now if they're mad, let's give them the explanation. Let's get active in the info war. I'm out of here, folks. Have a great weekend. And peace out.
And wherever that they at is where I'm trying to be. It was all good a week ago, young the big tipper. Tried it all, we can do it all at a script. Got me looking at my stats, so where the f*** is the rest at? Looking at my watch like it's a bad investment. Speaking investments, we talking investments. My re-up money, yeah, I'm trying to invest it. Sell a dream, man, sell a son. Folks got a mohawk, he still ain't heard nothing. Yo!